Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. This man in Congress, who I've established has uncommon intelligence, a wealth of experience, and the innate leadership abilities to bring them to bear for the country's well-being. He's doing it these days on Capitol Hill, representing the people of the 4th District of Pennsylvania. His name is Representative Scott Perry, but he also goes by Brigadier General Scott Perry, United States Army Reserves. He has experienced a lot of time in combat, both of the kinetic kind and of the political kind, and it's always a delight to have him with us. He is on the Committee on Foreign Affairs in the House and also a member of the Homeland Security Committee. In the latter committee, he chairs its Oversight Subcommittee. He's always a welcome guest here. Congressman, thanks so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Frank. I'm privileged to be here, and you're too kind with that. That's a lengthy introduction.
All true and well-deserved. You have been one of the few members of Congress who has picked up on something that it seems to me, and obviously to you, cries out for close congressional scrutiny, namely this business of Skolkovo and what Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were doing in Russia in that connection. Could you talk a little bit about what you know about this and whether this is something that ought to be more rigorously investigated than we've seen from Congress so far?
There's no doubt that it ought to be rigorously investigated. When Secretary Clinton was the secretary in the Obama administration, I guess the easiest way to put it is that the United States engaged with Russia in a program where we encouraged our tech companies. And, you know, you can just think of the normal ones that you would think of regarding computing, software, et cetera, to invest in a place called Skolkovo, a Russian Silicon Valley. We were encouraging our American tech companies to invest not only dollars, but technology in Russia, such that even patents that was made in this place after the investments were made or the companies, there's a lot of money involved. Don Podesta is involved. There are shell accounts in the Caribbean involved. The Clinton Global Foundation is involved in all this. And there's a strong sense that there's plenty of money laundering. There's certainly evidence to lead everybody to believe that Mr. Podesta falsified his ethics and his reporting statements regarding monies received from foreign governments.
But let me ask you, in your capacity, General, as a military man, one of the particularly alarming things is that your service, the United States Army, identified this operation as an overt technology transfer, or for that matter, theft. And among the technologies that were transferred, you mentioned some high-tech information technology and so on, but were hypersonic rocket engine technologies, which are the kinds of things that are now pointed at us in a modern and very dangerous nuclear arsenal.
You're absolutely right, Frank. The United States military and others alarmed and informed the government that this was a security issue, this technology transfer, this policy. Let us set aside all the political implications regarding Clinton Foundation and Mr. Podesta and all that stuff. There were national security implications that were grave, and that was just overlooked. And then when you look at the hypersonic, the engines for cruise missiles, et cetera, and realize that right now China and I'm not sure the confirmation of Russia, but certainly China has that weapon capability over the horizon on their ships right now, which now outclass and outmatch the United States Navy. That's happening right now. So I think the connection at some point can be made that we aided and abetted. We essentially transferred that technology to our enemies who are now using it against us.
Well, I haven't used it yet, but are certainly in a position to do so at will, which is really alarming, especially since, as you know, General, these are technologies that are designed to overcome our missile defenses, which is a particularly ominous thing. Hey, let me ask you about something else before we run out of time. And again, our guest is Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. You did, in your role as chairman of the Oversight Subcommittee of the Homeland Security Committee in the House, I consider one of the most important hearings to date, certainly since 9/11, about the Muslim Brotherhood and the kind of willful blindness that we saw so much of during the Obama years with regard to that very dangerous group. There was just a document obtained by Judicial Watch, Congressman, involving a woman I've been very concerned about with extensive ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, Huma Abedin, who was one of Hillary Clinton's top aides, as you know. Her mother is a prominent figure in the Muslim Sisterhood, the equivalent counterpart to the Brotherhood. And apparently this interchange, this email between them, involved Huma soliciting advice from her mother about who the United States should appoint to be its representative to a group called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, another Sharia supremacist deal. Given your understanding of what we're up against in terms of this Sharia supremacist enterprise known as the Brotherhood, how serious a problem does this and sort of their stealth jihad more generally represent, as you see it?
I think it's a very serious problem, and the more serious problem is not their secrecy, not their covert activity. Literally, their actions and activity is fairly overt. It's the acceptance on the part of people involved in statecraft and policymaking of the Brotherhood and its mission, and the continual apologies to such. When I've asked the Secretary of State, the Ambassador to the United Nations, various committee chairmen, almost literally every single individual I've asked why we're not designating them a terrorist organization or something along that line, there's always some apology where we have to deal with them. They are embedded in different governments and there's different places on the spectrum and so on and so forth, to which I say, but they all have the same mission, the same goal in mind. And whether the means are different is irrelevant to me. Their interest in regarding the United States is the downfall of our form of governance.
Indeed. Couldn't be more explicit about it either.
That's exactly right. So it seems to me this should be an easy choice, but yet I can't convince colleagues that this is what needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, I hope you will persist in it, sir. Your leadership is desperately needed. We're here to help you and always welcome the chance to talk with you about it and to collaborate as well. Let me ask you, if I could quickly, about two other issues that I know you've been involved in very recently in the deliberations on the House floor about the National Defense Authorization Act. One, your own amendment to try to get DOD out of the climate change business, and two, the amendment offered by Vicky Hartzler about transgenders getting their sex change operations paid for out of the military's overstretched healthcare budget.
Those two amendments were offered on the National Defense Authorization Act. Unfortunately, with Republicans in charge of the House, we could not garner enough votes to have them pass. So as it stands right now, Department of Defense will be doing climate change studies and reporting, and the American taxpayer through the Department of Defense will be paying for individuals that enlist in the military and then desire a reassignment, a gender reassignment surgery. So we had two amendments. One was mine on the climate change. The other was Vicky Hartzler, who had reported on the transgender issue. On mine in particular, I'm not saying that climate change isn't real. I'm not saying it shouldn't be studied. I'm not saying it's not an issue. I'm not saying a lot of things. What I'm saying is the appropriate place to do it isn't DOD. We have stretched dollars for national security. We're $20 trillion in debt, and we're trying to bolster our United States military. The last thing I want to do is have officers, soldiers, service members have yet another report and another thing to deal with that takes them away from keeping their eye on defeating the enemies of the United States and securing our liberties. On the transgender issue, Duncan Hunter said it very well and very succinctly. Look, if you want to be a man and you're a woman, that's great. If you want to be a woman and you're a man, that's fine. We accept that too. Just decide to do that before you join the military, and that shouldn't be a burden that DOD or the American taxpayer pays for. Again, we have scarce resources, and we need to just make sure all those resources are going to the fight. We don't accept members of the into the military if you have a neck tattoo. I don't see a hue and cry to have the taxpayers pay for the removal of that neck tattoo so that you might join the military. But yet we've made this provision, and as Republicans, we could not garner enough support for those two amendments or the Trent Franks Amendment, which quite honestly informs us on how to defeat Islamic radicalism, which seems to be, in my mind and estimation, a place where we're fighting in a lot of the world. And it seems to be an easy vote. But on all three of those votes, Frank, when they were defeated on the floor, the other side was cheering. And I'm thinking to myself, it seems to me you're cheering against your nation.
and our national security to boot. Congressman, we have to leave it at that. There's so much more to talk about. I appreciate your leadership on these efforts, and I just keep find myself wondering, where is the rest of the leadership in terms of whipping on these votes and trying to make sure that, that we do the right thing for our military men and women? God bless you, sir. Keep it up and come back to us soon. Our mutual friend, Diana West, is up next. We'll talk with her more about Trump and Putin straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.